We're back for another News for Gamers Radio for the week of May 19th, 2007. In the studio this week, we have returning favorite, Gambus Khan.
Yeah!
Oh, Lord.
Just now?
That was my war cry.
That was your war cry. And also with us, we have the Wombat.
How you living?
Large. Very large.
And long.
Wow, that's probably too much. No, I take that back. That's definitely too much
information. Too much information.
And of course, Zero Tolerance is here. And
yeah, but nobody gives a fuck about
that. Nobody really does. But we have a very exciting show this week. We're going to talk about the April's NPD sales numbers, which that'll obviously spark a giant debate.
Yeah, it ought to be fun.
And we'll also be talking about... what's that game that we've been playing lately?
I don't remember. It's like Ring...
Sphere, based on the Michael Crichton movie.
Sphere, but it's like a hollow sphere.
Halo?
That's it.
Halo 3. That'd
be
the
there
one.
We go.
All right.
Halo triple.
Halo 3Z. All right.
We're Halo, gonna... let's see how much money we can milk out of these motherfuckers with the Legendary Edition.
At $129.99.
No doubt.
All right. So first we're going to start off with what's fondling your console, and I'm going to jump right over to the Wombat. And
yes.
Outside of, obviously, Halo 3, because we'll talk about that in detail later. What else have you been... What's been fondling?
Not really a lot, to be honest with you. I downloaded the content for Crackdown, but didn't get a chance to play it. So other than Halo, I've pretty much just been playing... same stuff I was playing last week, pretty much. Some arcade games. I played some Aegis Wing. And, I played,
You're being attacked by a ferocious monster.
I'm sorry for the delay. I'm being eaten by a tiger. I played Aegis Wing, or however you pronounce it. I don't know. There's probably some geek somewhere typing on a keyboard going, "You don't pronounce it correctly."
But, it's called Aegis Wing.
But,
it's Latin.
Other than that,
it's Latin.
You know, just I played a little bit of Worms again. Nothing major. Just been eagerly anticipating the Halo beta all week.
Well, yeah, I think everybody was. So, Mr. Khan, we move on to you. What's been fondling you outside of Halo?
Outside of Halo, well, let's see here. Some Aegis Wing or Aegis Ring or Angeli Wing. It must have several pronunciations, but yes, it is quite good. It's free.
It's the best free game that I've played this week.
It is so sweet. It's like, it's not quite Gradius quality, but it's fantastic because you could play multiplayer.
Yes, the multiplayer is very fun.
Yeah. It's exquisite. The gentleman who created this game ought
to be... There's three of them.
There's three of them?
Three of them.
The three of them need to be... they need to be...
Promoted?
Promoted, definitely. They need to start their own... They need to either start their own company...
They're interns, so maybe they should, you know, get full-time positions.
There you go.
Heck yeah, man. They kick butt, man. I mean...
There you have it.
It's a ringing endorsement for the interns.
Yes. This is Gambus Khan saying... Give these guys some more money and give them a solidified job, you know, making games like this, man. I want to see more. I want to see more side-scrolling shooting games, man.
So this is a message from Gambus Khan. If you give these guys a job and they make more live arcade games, he'll pay for them.
Yes, I will pay for them.
He'll pay points for them.
Heck yeah.
So that's all you've been playing besides Halo 3?
Also been playing Pokemon, but yeah.
Like how he slips that in there. Pokemon.
Yeah.
Pokemans. Well, we'll talk about this later in the NPD numbers, but have you seen my Pokemans? Oh my god, you want to talk about a juggernaut sales-wise? Holy shit.
Well, was there ever any doubt?
No, but this is damn. Just damn.
Just damn.
Just damn is all I can say about the numbers for Pokemans.
Pokemon.
I'm just going to call it Pokemans.
Pokemon.
Want to see my Pokemans? Well, I guess I round out the Aegis Wing happiness, because I've played it too, like a ton of it, and it's
fantastic.
Great.
Fantastic.
It's a great game for free. Damn.
As a matter of fact, I will almost go out on a limb to say it's probably in my top 10 favorite live arcade games overall.
Well, there's 61 arcade games, and I know this because I own them all.
Yeah. And it's very good.
It's fantastic.
Yes, it is.
Bragging over here.
I own every single Xbox Live Arcade.
I own them all, along with my caviar.
I own them all, and I drink wine every day.
And I smoke cigars in my giant penthouse.
Unlike last week when I wasn't playing any Guitar Hero, I picked it up again yesterday, and I've been playing on Expert. And I want to say that I am the guitar god, as I had beat Freya on Expert. Oh my god, that is so ridiculously retarded and repetitive and just stupid. And I beat it, finally, after hours and hours of practice.
Did you ever beat Jordan?
I get about 45% through it, and then I get to that solo, and I go, no.
No.
No, this isn't happening.
No.
I've not tried the KFC bucket on my head yet, though.
Gotta try it.
It could help.
It really could. I've also been playing some Command & Conquer Tiberium Wars, which is excellent. I am really liking that game, and it makes me all the more excited for the recent announcement this morning, which I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but StarCraft II! I'm so excited! I've been waiting like 20 years on this game, and now I gotta wait another 5 before it's done.
Right, yeah. I was about to say, it's Blizzard, so you do realize that you won't see it before like 2010.
Yeah, no, but you know what? I'll be excited.
But you know they got a November release date this year.
Yeah.
Maybe it's supposed to come out November of this year?
Yeah, maybe another screenshot. Maybe.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's when they release the official trailer.
Well, they already did that today.
Well, they'll release a new trailer.
Okay. All right, well, that pretty much wraps up what's funneling your console outside of obvious Halo 3 beta, which we will go into a lot more detail later. So right now we're going to jump into
detail.
The news. Yeah, intimate detail. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
We're going to jump into the news, so tune in after this little ditty of music.
Enjoy it.
All right, well, let's run down this news. We don't have a whole lot this week, but we do have some pretty good ones. Looked like you were going to sneeze there.
Yeah, I am
fighting it.
Yeah, I'm fighting a sneeze.
Okay.
So.
Well, don't sneeze into the mic, because then anybody listening with headphones, I mean, their head will just explode.
Pretty much.
All right, but into the news. The first one, and since we're running theme of Xbox Live Arcade, the original Prince of Persia is coming to the Xbox Live Arcade.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
Updated enhanced graphics.
I saw the pictures, and I must say, they look really good. It looks like
a 2D version of the new Prince of Persia.
Of the Sands of Time.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like the artwork and character designs of Sands of Time.
Apparently all
sweet.
The levels are straight ports from the original Prince of Persia.
So in other words, it'll be pretty tough.
Oh, yeah. The original Prince of Persia
was
a bitch.
Ridiculous.
Heck yeah.
But they said they've actually lightened up the difficulty.
Oh,
so,
okay.
They've added a couple things. Like now, if you run a little, like one step too far, remember in the old one, you run one step too far, you fall off the edge and you're dead?
Yeah.
Now they've added a thing where if you run just like one step too far, he'll fall, but he'll grab the ledge with his hand and pull himself back up.
Oh, okay. So that way, it'll make it pretty much a lot easier,
right,
in my opinion.
And they also said that they added a lot of, they tried to keep a lot of the same animations, because the original Prince of Persia was one of the smoothest animating games for its time.
It really was for its time.
But they've added a bunch of the Prince's new moves from the new series.
Did they add
his
move with the guitar, where he screams sexy motherfucker? Oh, wait, we're not talking about Prince.
Sexy mother! Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the moment's passed.
Yeah, I went there. Next up, and this to me, Shadowrun was sent to die at $60. Shadowrun is going to be full
$60
on the 360. PC gamers, get it for $50, which is still too much.
Yeah, it is.
For a multiplayer game.
For multiplayer only.
Considering that the whole game of Shadowrun at its best will be about as good as the Halo 3 beta.
Well, it's a different kind of game,
yeah,
and I think it's excellent. I mean, from what I played of the beta, I love it, but it's not a $60 game to me. It's too expensive for what it is.
It should be like $30 or $40 if it's going to be strictly multiplayer.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So
just like when fucking Warhawk ever releases for the PS3,
It better not be more than $30.
Yeah, it better not be $60.
No, it better not be. All right, next up on the list, Activision has announced the newest Tony Hawk game, and it's called Proving Ground. So, nice. The big catch to this one this year is that you will be able to create pretty much anything you want, not like you couldn't do that in the past,
right.
But it's a lot more in-depth, and there's even a skate video editor. So, like, you can record your skate videos in order to make yourself advance further.
Huh.
Which is kind of cool. I mean, at least they're still advancing the franchise.
Yeah.
And considering Neversoft's also working on Guitar Hero, we'll see.
They got a lot of work cut out for
them. Yes, they do. They have two very large franchises that they need to deal with. So that's the new version of Tony Hawk coming out this fall. The next one is Bungie has announced the official release date of Halo 3, and it is a lot sooner than anybody had anticipated.
Oh, yeah.
September 25th, the game will launch in America.
Which is just awesome.
Oh.
Anybody who's played the beta already knows. And they're already going, oh my god, I can't wait to September.
Yeah, imagine if the beta would have came out and they just announced it for November.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, that's awesome. Sony's Gamers Day was this week, and alongside a bunch of footage of their games like Heavenly Sword and Lair, and they did a new demonstration of Home. I mean, it really made the PlayStation 3 look like it had a lot of titles, which there's a lot of them coming, and they look really good. But they announced their next downloadable game, and I hope this isn't a trend, because, you know, with Warhawk, it went from being a new version of Warhawk to a multiplayer-only different kind of game
right.
than the original.
Right, looks more like Battlefield Modern Combat.
But they announced their next downloadable game, SOCOM. And it's not made by the original developers of SOCOM. It's not made by that same team, and it's a download-only game.
And it's multiplayer only. Yeah.
So it's... I just don't want to see Sony take their best franchises and kind of retard them. You know, I mean, seriously, I don't want a GIMP version of SOCOM. I mean, I hope Zipper...
version.
I hope Zipper is still working on a full SOCOM, because I love SOCOM. I think it was a great game. It kind of grew stale towards the end of the
right.
PS2, but if they could, you know, revamp it for next gen and bring us a new SOCOM for the PlayStation 3 exclusively, you know, that'd be awesome.
Perhaps that Sony's actually moving in a direction that we were talking about a couple weeks ago, how, you know, in the future, all games are going to be downloadable.
Yeah, but I don't want GIMP versions.
Yeah,
I still want
full
games.
If it was a full game, it would be different. But to have multiplayer only... And granted, you know, most people buy SOCOM for the multiplayer anyway.
Yeah.
But there's a segment that buys it for the single player as well. And, you know, it just seems like releasing half a game on your biggest franchise is a little crazy.
Well, the thing that bothers me is, like, SOCOM was finally getting to the point where you could do the co-op online.
Right.
And that would be a huge draw.
Oh yeah,
for a PS3 version, is to have that 4-player co-op simultaneous online.
Right.
And with this one, you know, it's just going to be deathmatch kind of stuff. And if you saw the screenshots, it's kind of it looks a lot like Warhawk, so it's really low budget visually.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I really want a new full SOCOM. When I saw the screenshots, I didn't know it was a download only game. I was like, really? That's what SOCOM looks like on the PS3?
Like?
I was like, wow, I expected a whole lot more after seeing, like, Drake and Lair and all that shit.
Right.
I was like, this stuff looks good. SOCOM looks,
yeah.
So, I mean, it still could be fun. I don't want to say that, but when you take an established franchise like that and you kind of dumb it down for just a download-only game, I don't want to see that happen to the franchises. I still want to see them come out. So, next up, this is all GamesCon news here, but Square also had their Gamers Day this week, and they announced a few new titles, including Star Ocean for the PSP, I believe, the remakes.
Yeah,
and
remakes
they announced
of 1 and 2.
New Star Ocean, but they didn't say what it was for.
Yeah.
They did not announce a platform, but they did announce a new franchise called The Last Remnant, and it will be 360 and PS3.
Yeah, and it looks really good, I must say. It looks...
The one screenshot I saw of it looked phenomenal.
I saw about 10 different screenshots. It looks very similar to 99 Nights.
Yeah, it's an action RPG, really.
Yeah,
so.
With massive armies, and it looks like how 99 Nights was an improvement over Dynasty Warriors. Well, Last Remnant looks like about the next step up from 99 Nights. I mean, it looks exquisite.
It looks, if it's like 99 Nights, I'll love it.
Yeah, 99 Nights awesome.
Was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, some of the pictures I saw of it had, like, humongous armies, and the lighting and the detail of the artwork was really good. So I was like, whoa.
It's actually a Square cool. game that I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really excited about this game. It looks phenomenal. I love the art. The art direction reminds me of Lost Odyssey. Was I the only one that got that?
It looks sort of like Lost Odyssey, except I thought it had more. It was more colorful.
Yeah, it seems like the main character has a lot more emotion than like the Lost Odyssey guy. The Lost Odyssey guy reminds me of the dude from The Darkness with like armor on.
Yeah,
you know, so
he's kind of like the goth guy who's been through so much in his life that he lost all emotions.
Well, it's the first time I've been excited about a Square game. And it's an original IP, and it looks good. And I think that's what Square really needs to do, is get away from milking, you know, Final Fantasy and all this other stuff.
Yeah, you definitely know my stance on that.
Well, yeah. And I can't deny the fact that I'm kind of excited about Star Ocean, because the first two were, I think, in my opinion, Square's best RPGs, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they were excellent. So I'm surprised it's taken them this long to release a new one.
Yeah, I'll probably end up getting a PSP, because there's a lot of good PSP games coming out on the horizon, so I'm going to have to buy one of those again.
No, oh, I refuse to. I mean, even though I want to play, you know, Castlevania, and, you know, I want to play, God of War.
Yeah.
You know, I still think the lineup is kind of, but, you know, that's cool. Also, if you want to see any more coverage of this game, obviously go to n4g.com and check out, do a search for The Last Remnant. It's definitely worth checking out. And as a nice seg, I didn't even notice I did it, but the next game that was announced was from Koei. And they took two franchises that the games are kind of eh, and they put them together and they made Dynasty Warriors Gundam.
How in the fuck do those two go together?
Well, it's like a giant battle type game, but with Gundams.
I saw video footage of it. It's called Mobile Suit Gundam Musou. It's for the PS3. And it really looks fantastic. Can you imagine like 200 mechs on the screen at one time? Mass destruction happening simultaneously? I mean, granted it's Dynasty Warriors, I mean, but it looks freaking amazing.
Just the idea of a bunch of giant robots battling.
Well, just when I hear Dynasty Warriors, I think of, you know, ancient China.
And Fog?
I don't think of China.
Well, it's not called Dynasty Warriors Gundam. I mean, it's the same idea as Dynasty Warriors. Like, in Japan, I think Dynasty Warriors is called Singo Masuo.
Something like that. Yeah. I'm not good with Japanese
and
names.
And then this game's called Gundam Masuo.
Oh, gotcha.
So, that's kind of a cool...
So it's like Gundam Warriors, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Instead of Samurai Warriors.
There you
like
go.
Gundam Warriors.
Yeah, Gundam Warriors.
And get this. Some of the stages actually happen in the middle of outer space. So... like several hundred robots fighting in the middle of space.
That's what Dynasty Warriors needed, actually, was more outer space.
Yeah, because Chinese people could fly to outer space.
How are they going to handle the fog issue? There's no fog in outer space.
They'll figure something out. They'll call it a solar flare or something. There you go.
The solar flare.
All right, the next one, and this was probably the biggest news story of the week on N4G.com, but was in the latest episode of the Kojima Productions, which is a weekly podcast that talks about, you know, Metal Gear Solid 4 and Kojima Productions, what they're doing. Ryan Payton of Kojima Productions was on with the guys from 1UP.com, and he basically, I'll just read the quote, but he said, "I can tell you honestly at this point, we have not changed the game in any form with the idea of, oh, we got to do this on 360. Put aside that we're not developing, or put aside whether or not we're developing for the 360 or not, the game is built on PS3 hardware, as you guys have known for the past 2 years. And the reason this sparked up a lot of controversy is because he never denied that they were making it for the 360, even though Kojima himself has said
that he wouldn't.
That it's only on PlayStation 3.
So, in other words, what this is sort of alluding to is if supposedly it was going to come out on 360, perhaps, that Kojima just wouldn't really have anything to do with it, that it might be an outside contractor.
It might be a port.
A port,
yeah. Which I hope it's a lot better than Metal Gear Solid 2 on the Xbox, which was god-awful port.
It was
just Just bad.
Especially the rain.
The rain! Slow down in the rain. Alright, another new game announcement. God, it's like E3. Oh, wait, it's supposed to be E3. Midnight Club, L.A. for the PS3 and 360. So, all new.
Yay, another Midnight Club.
Night driving, street racing.
Where everything looks wet.
Well, yeah.
It's wet and it's nighttime. Fantastic.
They should
more
call
night
it
driving.
Midnight Club. Why in the fuck is it raining all the time? Because seriously, in every single Midnight Club game, everything looks wet.
It does.
Yeah.
But you know what? The first
it's
game
like a men's room at a restaurant. Everything is wet.
That's really gross.
Ugh. It's nasty, man.
Then another one that was announced that I didn't put on the list here, but I figured we should mention, Condemned 2.
Nice.
So, and this one's going to have online multiplayer.
Condemned. You know, I still have yet to delve into that title.
You should definitely check it out. It was a very original, good game, and I definitely think that you should check it out. All right, next up. Microsoft is cracking down on modders.
Ooh.
So anybody that burnt Crackdown to their Xbox to play the Halo 3 beta...
You're going to get fucked.
Yeah, your Xbox Live account will be banned.
Permanently.
You know, I'm wondering if Microsoft is like, hey, let's send them a signal through Live to give them the rings of death.
No, I think that's just the hardware.
Yeah, but but I mean, that would be kind of a cool way to like crack down on.
Oh, I like that.
Nice.
To crack
like
down.
Nice.
On pirates.
That's arr. Nice, nice. And the last piece of news we already talked about was StarCraft 2. Even though we don't usually cover PC, I had to throw this in there because I'm such a bitch.
Yeah, you won't cover PC for anything else. StarCraft announces a new game.
StarCraft 2. All right, outside of StarCraft 2, we also have some rumors. Yeah, some rumors. Got
some
a couple.
Rumors.
The first rumor is Nintendo Power recently did a mass layoff. So there's a rumor that it's going to be shutting down.
It's kind of sad.
Closing the doors after all these years.
That is sad because they were the first
right.
to start the video game magazine chain. And here's the cool part. I remember back before it was called Nintendo Power, it was called the Nintendo Fan Club Newsletter. Where, you know, it was like only a several page newsletter that would come out like every other month. And they had like several issues that they released right around when the original NES came out. And I had a friend who had a couple issues of it, and I was like, whoa, dude, that's awesome. And then they were like, oh, we're going to upgrade. We're going to bring out a new magazine. It's called Nintendo Power. And I remember getting the very first issue of that with the, you know, the Super Mario Brothers on the cover with the clay.
I find it funny because Nintendo Power, when it first came out, it sucked, but you didn't know it. You were too young
right.
to know that it sucked. And it sucked for many years, and then just recently it started getting a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, and then now they're going to shut it down?
You know, back through the 90s, it was one of the worst magazines.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
But the thing
especially
is,
in the late 90s during the 64 era.
Oh, where they would
yeah.
just be all over
yeah.
the 64's
God, it was
nuts.
Terrible.
I was like, really? This game wasn't good. And they're like, oh, this game was great.
It's fantastic.
Superman 64 is the greatest game ever.
It's got a few bugs, but, you know, that's expected. But, yeah. And then recently, the last couple of years, I've come to the realization that Nintendo Power, in terms of official magazines for game systems, is hands down the best one.
It, you know, I won't disagree with that because the PlayStation magazine was just awful.
Yeah.
The Xbox magazine was... It was better, but it was really... I like their previews, and I like their news. Their reviews...
If you're going to an official magazine for reviews...
That's not a good...
You're in the wrong place
yeah.
in the first
But point. I did like yeah. their previews, and I yeah. liked their layout and stuff. And I still read it. I still enjoy reading it, but...
Yeah, and it makes no sense, you know, because the Wii's popularity, you know, and the DS's popularity. Why would they... Shut down Nintendo Power. I mean, it makes no sense to me.
The only thing I can
maybe
think of
circulation
is
circulation sucks.
The only thing I can think of is maybe they're going to shut it down and supply it to another company, like maybe a
Might
bigger
be.
Like Ziff Davis or Future Publishing, and maybe do it that way. It's the only thing I can think of.
Hmm.
The next rumor. This one's been floating around for a while, but it popped up again. The Riddick remake for the 360 and the PS3 with an extra chapter and bumped up visuals.
Nice.
So
interesting.
A chance cool. for finally. I'd rather just have it backwards compatible.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, you know. And the last one, if anybody remembers the controversy about Shadowrun and that after the game shipped, that Microsoft is pretty much going to close Fossa Studios. They're going to shut it down. It's the same idea here that Sony is in talks, and this is just a rumor, that after Warhawk, they're going to shut down Incog. Which
sucks.
Is really sad, because Incog, you know, their name was on quite a few really good games, like Downhill Domination, War of the Monsters.
Well, I was about to say War of the Monsters was fantastic.
Yeah.
Twisted Metal Black.
Yeah.
So what happens if this studio shuts down?
They're only, you know, they're only probably the best Sony studio.
It really depends on how you look at it. You know, I think as far as first party, yeah. Second party, it would probably be like Insomniac or
right. Maybe
Naughty Dog, something like that. But
I mean, you know, even if Incog does shut down, you know those guys are going to be able to get jobs.
Oh, they'll be able to get jobs.
With their resume, they're going to be able to get jobs just about anywhere making games.
It just angers me because it's because of one game, because of Warhawk.
Right.
Because Warhawk wasn't the end-all, be-all game that they wanted it to be.
Right.
So I don't like that. I really don't. I didn't like the Fossa Studio thing either, just because, you know, Shadowrun wasn't loved by everybody.
You know what gets me about the Warhawk game is everybody's like, oh, Warhawk, yeah. Warhawk, you know, but they never say anything about the original Warhawk on the original PlayStation because half the people don't even know that there was another Warhawk.
Warhawk was a great game, but it is one of those games that didn't stand the test of time. If you go play it now, yeah.
Well, the thing is, you could say that with all 3D games, you know. 3D graphics just don't stand up when it comes to, you know, in between.
Super Mario 64 is still the bomb.
Yeah, but it's kind of looks.
I was talking about 3D graphics on the PlayStation. If you go seriously, if you go back and play just about any game with 3D graphics on the PlayStation now, it looks terrible.
It is pretty bad. PlayStation is the one system that did not age well.
No, it did not.
Really did not.
And the games were fantastic when
they came out.
Yeah, when they were out. Man.
Ridge Racer, Jet Moto, Rallycross, Twisted Metal.
Jet Moto, I loved Jet Moto.
But you try to play that now.
Yeah, and it looks awful. It's like we were talking about the other day with Bushido Blade.
Yeah.
Like, I love that game, but I go back and try and play it now, and I'm like, God, this is ugly as shit.
And it really kind of brings down the experience a lot.
But speaking of which, I'd love to see a new Jet Moto.
I would,
and
too.
I'm talking an actual Jet Moto. I'm not talking about the fucking jet ski
Jet X2O that came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking an actual
Jet Moto was sweet.
Well, take it out of the hands of 989 Studios, which is who did 3.
989.
Give it back to Incog, which was originally, what the hell was the name of that studio when they came out? Singletrack.
Yeah.
Singletrack was what they were called before.
Didn't in the original one they had a lot of Mountain Dew advertisements?
Yeah, they actually, that was one of the cool things about it, because there were a lot of the cool little sponsor stuff like that that you didn't see in a lot of games back then.
I just like the grappling hook where you hook it to things and spin around
the
turns.
Yeah, that was
incredible.
The best
was going on some of the tracks and just doing stunts.
Oh, yeah.
Just driving backwards and doing stunts.
God, that game brings back so many memories. Yeah, it makes me want to go pop it in, but then I'm like, it's going to be
so ugly. So ugly. Even if you turn on the PS2's little
anti-aliasing,
it still looks ugly.
So bad.
All right, so we're going to do the new releases, and then we're going to take a break and come back with our main topic. But new releases this week, there's actually quite a few coming out this week. The first is the Art of Fighting Anthology for the PlayStation 2. So if you've ever been a fan of the SNK old Art of Fightings, you can pick them all up for $19.99.
Very reasonable price.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance Gold, which is basically Marvel Ultimate Alliance with the downloadable packs. So if you don't have those, and you don't have Marvel Ultimate Alliance, here's your chance.
Yeah, but you know what? They dropped the ball on that, making it $60.
They really...
I mean, come on. It's what? I mean, granted, the game's $50 used, still at EB, GameStop, whatever, but
still,
if you got the Edge card...
It's still $60 brand new.
I know, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there.
Yeah. Next up on the list is Brooktown High Senior Year.
Okay.
It's, High School Simulator.
Fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dawn of Mana for the PlayStation 2.
Which I heard is completely terrible.
Death Jr. makes his jump to the DS for the first time from the PSP with the Science Fair of Doom.
Science Fair of Doom.
Diner Dash for the DS and the PSP.
Wait, just back on the Death Jr. track for a second. Does anybody remember when they were talking about that game like it was going to be the next huge franchise?
For the PSP?
Yeah, and like they were talking about how they were going to make a cartoon out of it and how they could do a movie out of it and all this shit. And
now it's...
Yeah.
These people kind of forgot
DS
about
game
it.
That nobody cares about.
Also this week, Legend of the Dragon for the PSP.
I caught an episode of that on... I think it's called Jetix. It's a cartoon channel.
Yeah,
dude, that's a terrible show, man. I'm sorry.
I was waiting for you to say it was awesome.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
dude,
what?
That's a terrible show,
dude. It's like I don't want to say anything bad. I don't want to hurt their feelings.
Okay. The Marvel Trading Card Game makes its way to the DS this week.
Yay.
Naruto Ninja Council 3 to the DS.
Yay.
New York Times Crosswords, which, you know, it still hasn't made its way
what?
Out.
What? New York Times Crosswords?
Yep.
Okay.
Odin Sphere makes its way to the PS2 this week, and I know there's quite a few people excited about that.
Yes, I'm quite excited.
Pirates of the Caribbean for everything.
For everything under the sun.
Yes, PS3, PSP, PS2, DS, Wii, 360, you name it.
I'm sure there's probably a wireless version as well.
Yes.
And here's the thing, I've seen video footage of the game. It actually looks pretty good. I'm wondering if it might actually be a good game.
There's a demo on the marketplace in Europe, but for some reason we didn't get it.
Oh, man.
And then the last game is the Xbox 360 shooter Wartek Cinco No Rande. I think I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, too.
Cinco No Rande.
Cinco No Rande. It's not Spanish.
Oh, okay.
It's Japanese.
Cinco No Rande.
Sure sounds Spanish.
Yeah,
that
does.
Game looks good, even though I'm depressed that they're going to charge me $60 for an old-ass Japanese port from last year. Why can't they just give it to me for $40, like Earth Defense Force, or $50, like Bullet Witch? No, they got to charge me the full $60.
Yeah, it's the trend. It's like, oh, let's make a budget title. How much are we going to charge for it? $60. That sounds fantastic.
I'm sure it does to your wallet. All right, so that's the news. That's the rumors. That's the new releases. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got some Halo to talk about as well as some sales numbers. So
Halo for that ass.
Halo for that ass. So stick with us. We'll be right back. So, Mr. Khan, you're back. So give it to me.
There's a war that's going on. A struggle against the odds is breaking out and must be won. They're getting ready with the weapons they have found. Take inspiration from the sound. Seen in the faces.
All right, we're back. We're coming back with some NPD numbers.
Oh, yeah.
These are always fun. Well, basically, for April, and the things to take into account in April, Pokemon's
Pokeball.
The Elite shipped, so there was a new SKU out there for the 360. And people are still buying Game Boy Advances, apparently.
Yeah.
So let's start running down these numbers.
Come on, folks. No, you know what? It's not actual gamers buying the Game Boy Advance at this point. It's grandmas who don't know what to get their grandkids.
That's a lot of grandmas.
I need a little gaming system for my
Which, you know,
grandson.
Something? All those grandmas still outnumber the people that bought PS3s.
Hey, we haven't got that far yet. Ah! So hold on.
Hey, now.
First, we're going to start with No One Can Stop the Nintendomino.
No one can stop
No
me.
One can stop Mr. Domino.
Nintendomino.
Nintendomino.
As the DS sold almost 500,000 units this month in April. 471,000 DSs moved this month, and I'm sure a lot of that had to do with Pokemans, but still.
That's impressive.
That's a lot of systems in a month.
Pokemans.
That's quite impressive, especially for a system that's been out for as long as the DS has been out.
Yeah, no doubt. And then the next one up on the list, the gravy train keeps rolling.
Keep on rolling.
The Nintendo Wii sold 360,000 units, which is kind of ironic. The Wii sold 360.
Nah.
You like that?
I am interested to know what the attach ratio is for the Wii.
I would be too. I've heard that it's like 2 point something, which is really low.
Low, yeah.
And then like,
well, I mean, but it comes with Wii Sports, so
I don't think they count that.
Right.
Well, the thing is,
right.
Wii Sports, that's half the games that are good on the
right,
system.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I think most people are probably saying, well, you know, I got Wii Sports with it for free, and that's, you know, that's what I'm having the most fun with, so I'll wait till they release something else to buy.
The other half of the games that are good on the system is Legend of Zelda and Paper Mario, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about the... We've also got the software sales, so we'll see what games are selling, too.
Fantastic.
But the PlayStation 2 continues to roll at 194,000.
I know, it's crazy.
I mean...
People
and,
love the PS2.
Well, you can't deny its library. I mean,
yeah.
Shit, $129 for, like, over 1,000 games.
Yeah.
And the games are still coming out.
And they're good games.
Definitely has the most impressive
library. Here's a shocker. The PlayStation Portable sold 183,000 units.
Which just, well, but you know what? Didn't the price drop
the price
happen
drop,
in April? So
yeah.
That's probably one reason for that. But no, still, good on Sony for selling a lot of PS2s and PSPs, because we're going to see why in a minute.
Yeah. The Xbox 360, and this one bothers me a little bit because I figured it would sell more with the Elite launching, but it only sold 174,000, which is not a bad number considering how long it's been out, but... As far as next-gen systems go, it has the best library. You can't argue that.
But it's also got the highest installed user base as well. So maybe most of the people that wanted it already bought it.
Yeah, but they should still be... And I think... And there was a large discussion about this on the NeoGAF forums. But seriously, if Microsoft were to drop the price by $100 right now, make the Elite $399, make the Premium $299, and make the Core $199,
yeah,
that thing would move. It would move huge.
Yeah, it would. Absolutely.
I suspect they'll probably do it this fall.
I would hope for an announcement at E3.
Right after Halo 3 comes out, or right before.
Would be the smartest.
Yeah, don't
because
wait.
Because if you release Halo 3 and price drop the system at the same time, they'll sell a ridiculous amount of units in September and October.
And that's really what they need to do, because it's kind of Microsoft's play right now.
Right.
You know, Sony is obviously way overcharged. The Wii is obviously moving like ridiculous because it's $250.
Right.
You know, so if Microsoft drops it to a system that you can get that's like the main system, the premium for $299, that's really what they need to do right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because that 120 gigger is really overpriced, and that Elite is just confusing people.
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking at that going, God, it's almost as much as the PS3.
Right.
And it doesn't have Blu-ray.
Right.
You know, so they really need to do that. Here comes the shockers. Game Boy Advance moved 84,000 units.
Which is just amazing to me.
Game Boy Advance. Why would you buy one? I don't... Like you said, it's got to be the grandmas going
out. It's people who just buying gifts for kids.
Game Boy Advance, though?
Yeah, but think about it. I mean, we both worked in game stores.
I know.
The parents or grandparents come in, and they just want something cheap for their kids to play, so they'll stop screaming in the backseat of the car.
Game Boy Advance? It just boggles my mind.
They're still releasing games on Game Boy Advance.
I know, but you can play them on the DS.
Exactly.
It's
why the DS sells a lot.
Well, obviously. Just imagine if all those Game Boy Advance buyers would have bought a DS. The DS would have been like almost 600,000.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, and here, this is, you know, you notice the system we haven't named yet, and that's because it's damn near the bottom, was the PlayStation 3. Only sold 82,000 units in April. I mean, that seriously says something about the sales. I mean, there needs to be a price drop.
Yeah,
like right now.
Yeah.
I mean, 82,000 units, less than the GBA that the PlayStation 3 sold this month. And, you know, the Sony's PR put it off as a lack of software, yet the Wii, which only had one killer app, outsold it by almost four times. I mean,
there's definitely a problem there.
Yeah.
Could you say price?
It's a perfect example that consumers do not want to pay $600 for a video game console.
Oh, yeah. Even though you can play Casino Royale on it like nobody's business, but then again...
How many people have the TV that are going to go out and buy a PlayStation 3?
Yeah.
It's a very small niche market.
Yeah, it's like, you know, oh, I got my... My 1080p television set with my HDMI cables and my PS3 and my Blu-ray player, and I drink wine with every meal and cigarettes instead of camels.
I don't even know what you just said.
Yeah. I don't know what I just said either. But, yeah. Price drop. Hopefully, very soon.
Yeah, there's one of the predictions from the, what are those guys called, analysts? The Wedbush the Wedbush Morgan analyst, the guys that predict everything that's going to happen. He's claiming that probably in July we're going to see a price cut for the PS3, which will be a first because a system is never price drop less than a year after it released.
Yeah.
And that is going to be huge for Sony. So
ought to be a very interesting time. I think here's the thing. Sony is like, our PS3 is future-proof. You know, we didn't build our system to only be a four-year console. We built our system to last an entire decade. But here's the thing. Here's the thing right here. Here it is. This is the thing right here.
Oh, the thing is coming.
The thing is here. Could they really have a system for so long and not make a profit for such a long time? I mean, I know 360 is doing the same thing, but at least 360 has a really, really established fan base, and it's only going to get better this year with Halo 3, Mass Effect, Blue Dragon, you know, a few other titles. You got PS3, and it's like, we kind of released our system like 2 years too early, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Metal Gear Solid, it's been pushed over to 08. So that's like one system seller game that's going to be 08. The other system seller game, Final Fantasy 13, which we've seen very limited footage of in motion so far. And if it was really going to come out within the year, we would see video footage that would make the game look almost like it was completely done. And they're saying that it might be out by Christmas of this year in Japan. But if it was, they would have had a demo of it already. Because they usually have demos at least six months in advance before the actual full game is ready. So I'm predicting spring of 08, if not early summer of 08, for the Japanese release. And I predict somewhere around November, December release here in the United States in 08. So what does that mean? That means whenever someone has a conversation about, oh, 360 had a one-year head start on PS3, the reality is the 360 is now going to have a two-year head start of the PS3 because Sony gave them an extra year.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, I think that they're doing really well with their software right now, with everything they announced, obviously with Heavenly Sword, Uncharted, Drake's Fortune, you know, what's the other big title? Obviously Home, Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
I mean, these are really good games, and I think that they're going to do really well, but the problem is that with a system with such a low install base, and it's not getting any better, I mean, the numbers have been drastically falling. And it's not a supply problem. It's definitely not a supply problem.
Yeah, it's definitely not a supply problem. I mean, everywhere I go, there's at least two or three systems.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It's not a supply problem, and it's just, it's getting to the point where Sony really needs to drop that price. They need to bring it down. $100 will make a difference. I don't know that it'll make a big enough difference. Because you know if Sony drops, Microsoft's going to drop. If Microsoft drops, Sony's going to drop. Nintendo's just going to laugh all the way to the bank.
But the thing is, Microsoft can afford to drop more than Sony can afford to drop.
Yeah, but even if the Xbox drops this year, I don't see it dropping more than $100.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said earlier, I see the Elite going down to $400, the Premium going to $3, and the Core going to $2, and maybe even more than that, but
you see, I think that would be a really nice, because then it'll actually be comparative priced to the Wii.
Yeah, because at $299, you can buy the 360 Premium with a 20-gig hard drive and just play games. The Elite is really for people who are going to do a
movies,
lot of marketplace downloads and movies and all TV shows and stuff like that. So outside of that, there's no reason to buy the Elite because the Elite is, to be honest with you, is a waste of money right now. It really is. Because, you know, $480 makes it look really expensive. It's black, it has a bigger hard drive, and an HDMI port, which is really not important.
No.
It's not important at all. And it's even a low-end HDMI port. It doesn't even do, like, the special audio that HDMI offers, so.
So it's kind of a janky HDMI.
Yeah, it's
HDMI.
A really kind of a, like, a low-end HDMI cable. So right now the Elite is just pointless. It's just, I don't understand it. I don't understand why they did it. I just don't. I think it's just a bad move by them. But I think if Sony would drop the price to $499 for what they're offering is a great deal.
Oh, yeah.
$599.
You're fantastic.
$599 is just killing them.
See, if it dropped down to $500 and then after a few more games coming out, you know.
It would really be worth, I mean, with their software lineup this year, they could sell a console at $500.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got great software coming out this Christmas.
Yeah, I don't mean to, you know, get all over Sony. I mean, I do feel that they're going to release a lot of really good games, you know, between now and the end of the year. It's just that the quote-unquote system sellers aren't really going to be coming out until 08.
Yeah, it's not like people are going to run out and buy a PS3 for Drake's Fortune. But if you have a game like Drake's Fortune, and you have Heavenly Sword, and you have Lair, and you have all these games on the shelf alongside Resistance and MotorStorm, and you know you have all these titles, and I mean even Warhawk, which is a really cool game. I mean it's have a low appeal because it's online only.
Yeah.
But I mean you have all this software, and you boost up that PlayStation Store, make it like Marketplace where it gets you know tons of new content every week. You know, put a demo up there once a week, put you know a new you know little miniature arcade game up there once a week, and bring home out. I mean, that'll bring the PlayStation Network to a point where it is, I mean, to stretch my words here, but a better offer than the Xbox Live for free.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then you will justify that $500 purchase alongside that Blu-ray player, which will be nice down the road because if the trend continues, Blu-ray is going to be the high-definition DVD of choice.
Yeah. And the thing is, I do plan on getting a PS3. I actually came real close to purchasing one a couple times since its release. And I guess I'm just waiting for the price drop and a combination of that and more software to come out. But I'm pretty much solidified that I will purchase a PS3. It's just a matter of time. And I'm already looking at, like, Blu-ray discs, like, in the stores. Like, maybe I'll purchase a couple Blu-ray movies before I get the PS3, so I would have, you know, a couple Blu-rays to mess around with, you know, like Casino Royale and a couple other ones.
Yeah, it's you know, it's drop the price.
Yeah.
That's really the statement here is drop the price, and you're going to appeal to a much wider audience. You got this great lineup of software coming out. You know, announce all this stuff at your Gamers Day, and then in E3 or whenever that crap takes place, you go in and you say, okay, the system is now $499 with a 60 gig hard drive, Wi-Fi, HDMI cable, and a Blu-ray player. And if I was Sony, I would go ahead and pack in a cable like Microsoft does for the HD. Because offering an HD system with a component cable is just retarded. I've never understood that from this. You know, they give you an Ethernet cable even though it has Wi-Fi, but they don't give you a true HD cable. You know, they just give you composite cables.
Composite.
They give you standard composite cables instead of HD cables, which I think is just ridiculous.
Yeah. I truly feel that 07 Microsoft has in the bag, but I think that 08 is where the true war will actually begin. Will be in 08 because
we'll see if Sony can bring their system out of its slump. We'll
yeah.
see if the Wii still has legs even after the effect wears off of it being you know the gimmick machine and everybody wants one.
It's gonna be very interesting because you know we're starting to hear about exclusive games coming out for the Wii, and you know games are made for the Wii, and of course they probably won't be coming out until 08. So I feel that the Wii, you know, will pretty much come into its own in 08, along with PlayStation 3, because you know if they do a price drop this year, then I feel that more companies are going to be able to. Are going to be wanting to make more games for the PS3, and then the 360 is already, you know, they already have the ball rolling, and it's going to be rolling pretty good by the end of this year and into 08, so they're going to start off really strong in 08. But I think 08 is going to be I think it's going to be monstrous.
Yeah, I think Microsoft would bode well to drop the price of their system right now so that that snowball continues to build and it makes it more accessible to a consumer that wants to go out and buy a system for under $300 and have the top of the line, you know, 360. I think this should be the generation where everybody owns more than one console.
Yeah.
I don't think this should be like Sony people, Microsoft people, and Nintendo people. I think this should be Wii 60, or you should have a PS3 and a Wii, you know, or a 360 and a PS3. I mean, I think that everybody should at least own two. I think that's going to be what this generation needs to be about.
Yeah, because each system has its own, like, flavor. It's like food. You know, some people like Chinese, some people like Mexican, some people like Italian. Obviously, the Italian would be the Wii because of Mario. We like Italian!
Oh, yeah, there you go. That wasn't stereotypical at all.
Oh, no. And, yeah. What would Microsoft be? I don't know.
German brats.
The Germans. Microsoft will be the Germans.
Yeah, that's really bad connotation, too. But we'll just skip over that. All right. And the last system that made a little blip on the NPD charts was the GameCube. Still showing up with 13,000 units sold.
Yeah. And
Nintendo just... I guess it's just Nintendo. Because the Xbox didn't even make a blip.
Well, you know, I guess they're still selling copies of Super Smash Brothers.
I guess so. Yeah. It's amazing that it still showed up, and the Xbox didn't even make enough to to even matter. All right, now we're going to go into software sales, which, oh my God, look at my Pokemans. Whew.
Oh, jeez.
Pokemon Diamond sold 1.045 million units. Pokemon Pearl, 712,000. I guess everybody, you know, the Diamond Pearl thing, I guess they really want diamonds.
Thing is, I got the Pearl.
See, you are the minority.
Yeah.
Those are the top two selling games, obviously. And Nintendo keeps rolling the ball with Super Paper Mario managed to pull out 352,000 units this month, which is quite impressive.
Definitely.
I mean, a game that people thought that nobody would really pick up on, I mean, it sold a lot. So, hopefully it continues to do well. I do see it tapering off a little bit. But the one game that's not tapering off, and I don't understand this trend, is Wii Play. At number 4...
Well, it is kind of the spiritual successor to Wii Sports.
Yeah, but it's so... I guess it's the remote, maybe?
Probably.
You know, you get the free remote with it, but it sold 249,000 units. I mean, that is just impressive for a collection of crap, basically. Because every game in there kind of sucks.
Yeah. The Wii, you know, when I saw the videos of, like, when they first announced it at the Tokyo Game Show, I thought it was pretty cool, you know, waving your hand around, interacting. But, I don't know, it just doesn't feel... I don't have that feeling, you know, when I play it as when I did when I first saw the videos, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to get another Wii bait.
Yeah, the Wii bait.
Yeah, I don't want to get into another one of those. But we'll move on.
At least not for this episode.
No, not this episode. The next one on the list, actually the rest of the list, is divided between Sony's monstrous PS2, which continues to sell in droves, and a couple 360 titles. First up was Guitar Hero 2 for the 360, 197,000 units. Not bad for an $80 box, or a $90 box.
$90.
And then right below it, Guitar Hero 2 for the PS2, still...
Not too bad for an $80 title.
That was released last year.
Yeah.
Still pushing at 142,000 units.
Guitar Hero is one of those games that is sculpting the modern generation.
I mean, it's an incredible game, and it's definitely deserving of these sales. The next two, Spider-Man 3 for the for the 360 at 117,000 units, which I don't understand where this came from, because the game didn't come out till May 4th. So how did it show up on the April NPD numbers? Are they counting pre-orders or people that sold it early?
They might have counted pre-orders, you know.
That would be retarded.
And yeah.
Right below it, Spider-Man 3 for the PS2 at 105,000. So even in its infancy, it sold over 100,000 units. So it was really big. Bigger on the 360 than the PS2. That kind of shocked me. I figured the PS2 would have been the system of choice on that one. I don't know.
You would think so.
And the last two games belong to Sony. God of War 2 at 101,000 units. Good to see that one still moving.
Yeah.
And MLB The Show pushed out 79,000 units, so the baseball fans have gotten their fix on. That wraps up our numbers, so we're going to take one last little break, and then when we come back, we're going to discuss everything Halo. Oh, yeah. So, Mr. Khan, give me a call out. Back for the final segment of the evening, and we're going to be discussing a little game that we've all been enjoying over the past few days.
And as a matter of fact, one of our compatriots had a leave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed in the last segment, but about halfway through it, Mr. Wombat had to step out of the studio. So for right now, it's going to be me and the Con finishing this out.
Yeah. Me and Zero.
That's right. So now we're going to do a little discussion about the Halo 3 beta, which if you're not aware yet, you need to be. Person that was able to download it, whether you did it through the Rule of Three or whatever other, you know, acceptance through the standard beta, or if you bought Crackdown, you can now download it and get online and play the three maps. There are three maps total. And it's basically just the general matchmaking. You can play Rumble Pit. You can do Team Slayer. I mean, there's plenty of options for you to play around with. And it's just incredible. I mean, it's been a long time since got excited.
It's a fantastic game.
I mean, it's just... Oh, it brought back so many memories. It's been so long since I played Halo, and I started playing this, and it just all came back to me. And I actually lost my need for achievements for a little bit. I was like, I just want to play to have fun. I don't care about the achievements.
You know, what's kind of weird is, since I've been playing, ever since I got 360, you know, you kind of get used to the bagoink noise. And when I was playing the Halo 3 beta, a part of me was thinking, I haven't heard the bagoink in a while.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird.
It was. And another thing I noticed is while I was playing it, I was like, oh, that'd be a cool achievement if I got, you know, like 10 assassinations in a game or 10 sniper kills in a game or, you know. But there's a lot of... And it's funny because it's been... And we would go back to the spoiled gamers thing. It's like, I'm so accustomed to getting achievements for everything I play now that it kind of dictates a lot of my game time. And that's not really fair, but it's just the way the cookie crumbles. But when I was playing this game, I got back into that old mode of I just want to play for fun. It's kind of like Guitar Hero 2 and Halo 3 have taken me back to the point where I don't care about what I'm achieving. I just love playing.
Yeah.
And that's something that very few games can capture. Very few games can pop into you and say, hey, you're just having fun. There is no goal. There is no set thing. You're just having a ball. And they never get old. I mean, and we should probably get into discussion about Halo, but we really put it through the test last night. Over the last couple days, I believe I started on Thursday night. I hopped online and I played with a couple friends, and then I actually got into a room with one of the guys from the forums, Zero Function, and we played a few rounds.
Zero Function.
See?
That name again.
Yeah.
That name again.
That's right. And he's a very cool guy. We hopped in. We played a few rounds. It was tons of fun. And I had to go to bed because, you know, I had to get up and work. I didn't realize I blasted away like 3 hours in Halo. And I was like, oh, I got to go to bed. So then last night, we got the whole crew on. Me, Gambus, Wombat. We had
Killer Wolverine.
Speedwack was in there. And then my fiance jumped in with us, and we were playing some Rumble Pit. And then once we got down to four players, we jumped into the matchmaking. And that's when things really lit up. I mean...
It's a fantastic game. Fantabuloso.
Fantabuloso?
Yeah.
I guess what we should break down is the subtle nuances. And like the biggest thing is I love how the bumpers now are weapons.
Like, yeah.
Like the right bumper is your right hand, left bumper is your left hand. As long as you remember that, you'll be good in this game. Like the right bumper will let you reload your right gun. Your right trigger will let you fire it. Your left bumper will let you switch grenades or reload your secondary gun that you have in your left hand, and the left trigger will fire or throw a grenade. And it took me a while to get used to this. There's a lot of times when I would jump up and I'm like trying to hold down X to get in a Warthog, you know, because that was the old way to do it. I noticed that a lot of times that every time I go up to get in a Warthog, I'd drop a bubble shield or something because the X button is now equipment. So I thought that was kind of funny. And the out of the three maps, I think my favorite is the one with the gate. What is that called? I know it's Valhalla.
Valhalla?
Snowground and something else. Or something. I don't know the names of the maps. It's the one with the base and the door. It's kind of like... see, I can't even remember the name from map from Halo 2 that I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, I don't really look at the names of the maps. I'm just so happy to play.
I mean, and I love that map. I love the way it's laid out. There's so many little ways to get up in the base, and it's cool because already at this early stage, we're already seeing people figure out little things that they can do, like getting the jump pad to jump up over the gate to get in and get the flag.
Yeah.
Or seeing people, you know, knowing where all the weapons are. I mean, that's the key thing, like knowing where the rocket launcher is, knowing where the sniper rifles are.
And, like, this facility in the stage... I noticed that when you climb up a couple of the steps, there's like a hole in the wall, and if you kneel down, like do the crouch motion, you can crawl into a pipe.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that's like another way in, you know, and that's cool, you know. So you can have games where someone's like guarding that pipe, you know, just in case someone came through it, like in the full game, you know. It's going to be fantastic. I like a lot of the new items. The bubble shield is really cool.
Well, let's talk about the items and the weapons. The items are basically like a new, almost like a new tier to the strategy. You have the jump pad, which will allow you to put up a portable jump pad so that you can jump over things or jump higher or get up to ledges. You have the bubble shield, which basically deploys, lays down on the ground, and gives you a range of cover that you can shoot through, but people can't shoot back through it. You also have a trip mine. That will like blow up a vehicle just by triggering it. Just lay it down and it'll trigger. And then there was another one that I was toying around with. It was like this like ball.
Yeah.
Like the electricity ball.
Yeah, it drained the shield.
Off of the opponent?
Yeah, it creates like an electrical storm. When you ignite it, the storm is like... It looks kind of like in the Terminator movies when Arnold Schwarzenegger comes back from the future naked. But before you,
why did you have to add naked in there?
I don't know. I'm just being stupid. But anyway,
you want to talk about my butt?
Oh, it's the electricity. Well, if you're caught in that, you know, it drains your shields, man. It's and then it blows up after it's done. So
basically, it could kill you.
It could kill you if you're really unlucky. Like if you're like cornered and there's like nowhere else to go, and you like throw the electrical. You know, the ball, and it's like, this is what drains their shields and blows them up at the end. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
The items really add like a whole new level to the game, and they change a lot of the dynamics.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
The bubble shield is also kind of interesting because it adds like an extra layer to the fighting your opponent, because when you ignite the bubble shield, you know, there's this force field around you, and they can't shoot you, but they can come into the bubble and attack you, so it's almost like you could use it as kind of a taunt, like, haha, come over here, face me face to face, or you could look at the bubble shield as in, you're having a firefight with someone, your shields are low, you're about to die. You throw down the bubble shield, it ignites, and you could regain some of your armor shield. Gives you extra time to regain your shielding, so that you can retaliate. You know,
Yeah, there's a lot of cool things, and I can't wait to see it, like, in the final game of, like, people with, like, and we'll talk about the weapons here in a second, but, like, if somebody, you see the Spartan laser tag on you, and you just drop the shield.
Yeah, exactly. That's another way, that's another strategy, because the laser is pretty badass weapon, if I must say so. It's like the death ray.
And pretty much when I see that red light, it's a bad sign for me.
It is. It reminded me of, like, the scene in Predator when that one guy's got the laser on his forehead.
Oh, yeah.
And the Predator just shoots him dead, you know? It reminds me of that. Like, if I see the laser, like, pointed right at me, I'm like, I'm going to be dead in exactly 1.3 seconds, you know?
It's, and I really like the new equipment. I really do. I think it really adds to the game. All right. So let's talk about the new weapons, starting with the grenades. Aside from the standard frag and the stickies, we now have the brute, like, the spike grenades.
Yeah, which is, I kind of like them. They're kind of like buoys in a way.
Yeah, and you can stick people with them too, and it's like, it's a lot harder to stick people than the regular plasma grenades.
Definitely.
And that's very cool. But the big bulk, obviously, is the new weapons. I mean, you bring back the machine gun from Halo 1, which is very much appreciated. Everybody starts with it. Much better than the SMG.
Oh, yeah.
Because SMG sucked in Halo 2. You start with that, it's like, this crappy gun. You start with that. You can still get the assault rifle from Halo 2, which is nice. Still got the carbine, standard two sniper rifles, rocket launcher, brute shot, which is a lot more powerful now, so it actually means something, and the melee with it is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
You hit somebody with that spiked into the brute shot, and it's deadly. As far as the new guns go, the Spartan laser, we talked about that. That thing is just annihilating.
It's the red beam of death.
And it'll take out a vehicle, too.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic with this weapon because you hold down the trigger and it powers up. It takes about 3 seconds for it to completely power up before it actually fires. But when it fires, it is a beam of death. Those who are caught in it just drop.
Yeah.
They drop like a rock.
It's a very satisfying feeling when you're on the one pointing it, though.
Yeah, because I was in the snow field, right? When I was playing the matchmaker, I was in the snow field, and I got the laser. And I know I'm not that good at Halo, as all my friends know. I'm pretty bad. But here's the most satisfying thing in the world. I shot this laser, and it powers up 3 seconds, and I shot it. And it was like, I saw these two guys, they were both fighting each other, they were both shooting each other. So I powered it up. And right when it ignited, one of those guys got in the way of it and just dropped dead. And then I actually turned around while powering it up again because I heard someone behind me. And I blindly, like, turned around. And right when I turned around, it shot off again and I killed another person with it. So I killed, like, two people in a row with the laser in a matter of seconds. And I was just like, holy crap, this is awesome. And it's like the laser just shoots right through them and they like drop and blood's all over the snow.
It was, yeah. The Spartan laser is just incredible. And there's two new weapons that like put you in like a third person perspective. There's the Gatling gun,
yeah,
which is kind of useless for like combat, but it's great for defense. Like, if you're guarding, like, a bomb area or a flag area.
Yeah.
It's great for that. And then there's the other one that puts you in third person, which is really awkward in Halo. It's really weird to me.
It is.
To be in third person is the, like, rocket, kind of like grenade shot or something.
Yeah.
Like, it shoots out, like, grenades and stuff. And those are cool additions, but they're really only good for defense, if you're stationary. Like, you can't be moving around.
Yeah, stationary defense basically... Basically, when you use these weapons, you want to be sort of like a gun sentry, like
kind of like being on a turret.
Yeah, like you're a turret,
yeah.
But you're just a moving turret.
Yeah. So those are really nice additions. Also, the new brute pistols. The brute pistols.
Oh, yeah.
I really like those.
Yeah, they're really nice when you dual wield them. They dish out some pretty good damage ratios.
I've taken out some guys with some powerful weapons with those. And they got a great, they got that blade on the end of them too, like the brute shot. So when you do the melee, you get a pretty powerful punch out of it. Now, I noticed the pistol has been removed.
Yeah, the
Pistol has been removed, which, you know, it was kind of useless anyway in Halo 2, and it was kind of overpowered in Halo 1.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I don't miss it. I really didn't miss it while we were playing. So that one's not a big deal to me. I'm trying to think if there's any other big new weapon additions. Obviously, the vehicles. We got the Mongoose, which we got to try out in the beta version, which is a little ATV, which is really cool because it's a lot smaller target. So, like, if you're carrying, like, a bomb or a flag, it's harder to hit. But it's also not as strong. So if you do get hit, it hurts.
Yeah.
And the driver cannot shoot, just like the Warthog, but the passenger can. So, I mean, it adds a cool little new dynamic, and it's nice because they put two on the big maps so that it's easier to get from one end to the other. And it's basically a transport vehicle is what it is. So I really like that addition. I can't wait to try out, like, the Banshees. The flying Banshees.
Oh yeah!
I can't wait to try those out. There are a couple of the ghosts in the beta, the Covenant like floating vehicles that you shoot the lasers out of.
Yeah.
There are a couple of those. I was never really a fan of those.
I kind of like them. They're kind of fun to ride around in.
Yeah, they're all right. The ATVs are just a blast. I have a ball on those. So you know.
As a matter of fact, one time I got into a ghost and I actually mowed down a couple people by running them over.
What do you jack a ghost? Like jump on it and take it over?
Oh.
Now that's fun. That's a good time. When you do that in multiplayer, it's just so good because while you're on the ghost, your opponent can hear you. So you can say everything in the world. You can be like, uh-oh, oh, I just took your ghost. What are you going to do? Because he can't stop it.
Yeah.
So he's just got to sit there and take it. And it's a very satisfying feeling. And it's just, oh. This brings back so much to me to play this game again. I'm so thrilled to be able to get back in and play some Halo. And the matchmaking system is awesome. I mean, that's what we've been waiting on. Ever since Halo 2, there needed to be a game that had that party matchmaking system. Because now we can jump into a room and go into a game as a group.
Yeah.
And stay together and play together, you know, and all that stuff. And that's really what makes Halo's multiplayer the best.
So now that we've got gameplay out of the way, what do you think of it visually?
Oh, we're gonna jump to the visual discussion.
Yeah.
Well, there have been a lot of haters.
Yeah, there have been.
A lot of haters talking about this game and how it looks visually. And to be honest with you, I don't think it looks that much better than Halo 2. I don't. I mean,
yeah.
There are a lot of nice little touches, like the snow, you know, and it's, you know, there's more detail on things, and it's got a better frame rate, and just little things that I would expect from a sequel.
Yeah, the textures are definitely better.
The textures are better and stuff like that. It's not a next-gen leap. Like, you know, like, and people keep comparing it to Gears of War and all that stuff, and I'm like, you know, it's not even about that. It's really not. Well, granted, there are some things that like blew my mind, like the water. The water
is really nice.
The water was incredible in that, and I was in awe of how good it looked.
And I also really like the architecture graphics of the Covenant. There's certain like Covenant bases, like in the snow level.
Yeah.
Where you go in there, and there's like transparent glass. That make up the floor and just the way everything looks and how there's like lighting on all the metal fixtures of the Covenant architecture. I really found that really nice. I mean, you could definitely tell that it looks better than the past two Halo games. And I'm really thinking that the real like where the players are going to really notice the graphical like what Bungie has put into the graphics is going to be in the single player campaign.
Well, definitely the single player campaign is going to be gorgeous.
It's going to be, and
I think it'll be like Ghost Recon. Like if you watch Ghost Recon single player compared to multiplayer, it's like a huge like jump, from one to the other. So and the video footage that we've seen of the single player looks a lot better than the multiplayer, and I think that has a lot to do with, you know, keeping the game fast, keeping it smooth. And keeping it, you know, you know, steady online. And I'm not complaining because the entire time I was playing, I could care less what it looked like.
Yeah, here's the thing about Halo that I really like. I actually really like the art in Halo, like the Covenant designs. I really like the Spartan armor design, and I think that over time, the characters in Halo are very iconic. Like silhouette wise, you know, you got the brutes and some of the other like Covenant races and the grunts and, you know, Master Chief. The way they look is very iconic. That's the word I'm stressing right here.
And like Cortana, single player, you know, the characters are very memorable. Very memorable.
Yeah, and like the Bungie webpage. You see the picture of all these flying Master Chiefs, and they all have that super deformed, like almost Japanese anime look on the front page, and that got me to thinking. You know, Master Chief, he's a symbol. The Master Chief is a symbol, not just a character. He, you know, and it's kind of a, and the way this picture was like. It's like everybody like kind of like plays together. You know, you got the green Master Chief, the red one, the blue one, the white one, you know, the gray one, silver one. I mean, it's just I think it's an iconic design. I think it's really grown on me over the past few games.
I'm really a big fan of the level designs and the character designs. I think that it's really well done, and I think that's really the visual appeal. It's kind of like with Gears of War. I was more impressed with the architecture than I was the bump mapping.
Yeah.
I think the level design in Gears of War was excellent, and I feel that Halo will be very much the same. But let's talk about one last thing before we cut this discussion off. And obviously this is going to be the biggest part of this, is the feature set that this game offers online. Obviously we have the party system, which is the best. It is the best matchmaking system ever created. And it should be required for every game in Xbox Live.
Yeah.
But the big thing is the stat tracking.
Oh, yeah.
It's tied into Bungie.net's website. And basically, it will track every little thing you do, from every kill to who killed you the most, to how many stickies you had, to how many assassinations, sniper kills. It is all listed on the website, tied to your gamer tag, and that is just integration that I love.
Yeah, it's like, some people might complain about Halo, but the thing is, this takes me way back. The thing about Halo is that it is the premier first-person shooter experience. And this is coming from a person who a few years ago didn't even like first-person shooters as, you know, an overall genre. I just thought they were like corridor blasters. You're just running down hallways and killing things. I didn't like first-person shooters until Halo came out, because Halo offered a... it felt like a premium step up from all other first-person shooters. For one thing, a lot of it takes place outside, which is really cool. Graphics are very interesting. Graphical representation is very cool because it evolves around alien architecture and vegetation, like the grass and plants, which is pretty much unheard of in any other first-person shooter game prior to the Halo games. And you could tell that Bungie really puts an emphasis on the gameplay mechanics to where they're solid, balanced, and extremely fun.
Yeah, that was the key thing, is that they captured that 30 seconds of fun, and it just continues to loop. And you just never get tired of doing what you're doing in the game. It never, and unless you count out like the library level from Halo, that was pretty boring.
Yeah.
That was pretty monotonous.
And you know what I felt? Interesting feeling when we were playing Halo multiplayer is that I actually got this feeling, and I'm like, you know what? This is just like playing laser tag.
It's a lot of fun, and I think the thing with Halo multiplayer is like everybody relates to the other characters. Like, they're very differentiated. You know who's who with the little name above their head and the new little tag that you can put next to your name to, like, justify your teams and all that stuff. And it's like everybody has their own identity. It's not just a bunch of nameless faces, you know? It's really well done that way, even though everybody has the same character model.
Yeah, which is really interesting, you know, it's like everybody is it's like everybody is a Spartan, but your own but you can create your own individual Spartan, you know. So if you see a certain armor color, you'd be like, oh, that's so and so, you know. So it's really
the emblems.
Cool.
They use the emblems,
yeah.
So like every you know when you see that emblem, you know who it is. And now they have that little 3-digit tag that like we can use to differentiate our team. And then when you get close to them and put your cursor over them, it says their name above it. So it's
yeah.
very individualized. And
oh
I,
yeah,
I like that. And another thing that I really like about the new live integration is the video system. I think
oh,
that is cool.
Oh my god, that is fantastic. To some of you who don't, you know, aren't in the beta right now, the Halo 3 system. Offers a when you're playing like multiplayer, at least whole multiplayer. I don't know about the rest of the game, but multiplayer, you can actually record film of your fight, the whole fight.
Yeah, you can record the entire session.
Yeah, the entire session. So if you played a game of multiplayer that you were like, oh man, I was kicking butt that round, you could prove it by saving that last match onto your hard drive, and it doesn't take up that much meg space.
No, it really doesn't.
It's only like several megabytes.
Yeah, for depending on how long it is.
Yeah, it's probably something like a megabyte per minute or something like that. But, I mean, that is really, really awesome. I mean, Bungie, they have gone out on a limb to make this game excruciating fun. I mean, it's so fun that I'm just thinking about playing it right now, and I'm an RPG guy, you know what I'm saying? I play RPGs. So it really takes a lot for me to be, like, thinking, like, dude, I could be playing Halo 3 right now. And the thing is, I did play through the first two Halo games on the single-player campaign. I played a little bit of Halo 2 multiplayer. And another thing about Halo that I really enjoy overall, which we didn't get from this beta, but it's going to be in the full package, is the soundtrack. The music in the Halo games is probably the best music I've ever heard in a first-person shooter. That's also another reason that got me really interested in the game was the soundtrack. And I would actually say that the Halo series as a whole, music-wise, is probably in the top five video game soundtracks of all time. In terms of musical quality. And, yeah. Halo is the... Halo's it, man.
It's going to be the game this year. I really feel that even with Grand Theft Auto coming out, that Microsoft putting the game out on September 25th is going to do some massive damage as far as, you know, just the Christmas lineup. Because you got a game that is... very easily game of the year material.
Yeah.
It's going to be played for, I mean, people played Halo 2 to this day. So we're looking at, you know, a game that's going to last you for the next 4 or 5 years if you want it to, is coming out September 25th before the holiday rush, before everything, and it's going to explode.
Oh yeah.
So
can't wait.
If you haven't had a chance to try out the beta yet, you may still be able to pick up a copy of Crackdown, download your beta, definitely check it out, and then hop on the forums. Drop us, you know, start a post, drop us a line, let us know what you think. Look up our gamer tags, hop into a game with us. We'll be on pretty frequently, so make sure you jump in and play with us. But I think we're going to wrap that up, because we could probably go another hour talking about Halo. And I don't think they want to hear that. I think they want to go play.
Yeah, I think I want to go play here in a little bit, too. So, yeah, we got to wrap this up.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up the show for this week. And we want to thank you guys again for listening. Of course, post on the forums. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to know. Tell us what you want to hear. Anything and everything, we will tackle it.
Oh, yeah.
So until next week, we're going to jump out of here. So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind. Thank you. going to buy Viva Pinata?
No.
You going to buy Command & Conquer?
No.
What do you think about Spider-Man?
You're going to have to eat some of your words from last week.
Yeah.
Because I played it a little bit, and there's some fun stuff. Did you do any of the skydiving stuff yet? Skydiving stuff's kind of neat.
I tried it once, but I'm just like, meh.
Reminds me of Pilot Wings, oddly enough. It's like Spider-Man and Pilot Wings. It's like Piter Wings.
Piter Wings.
Wow.
That's pretty bad.
That is pretty bad.
Check one. You making sure your hair looks okay for the podcast?
It feels like I don't know, my head shrunk or something.
You on Beetlejuice? Remember the Beetlejuice cartoon?
Yes.
That thing was kick-ass.
Yes, it was.